This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherie Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
I remember as a little girl being told that if I played the pop group's Queen songs backwards, I could hear satanic messages. Turns out I was wrong on both counts. Apparently it was the Beatles, and then after all, there are no satanic messages. This is according to a new book by award-winning author, journalist, podcast, and media trainer Jonathan Anser. His sixth book is entitled Bull, You Know What, 50 Fibs That Made South Africa. The book explores the outrageous miscellany of lies, myths, untruths, fibs, and fabrications that tell the woeful history of South Africa. I'm delighted to have Jonathan join me to tell me more. Jonathan, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Cherise. Thanks for having me.
Jonathan, firstly, everybody tells stories about origins, about countries, about religion. Is that a normal, healthy thing to do?
When you mean stories, do you mean lies, or do you mean tales, or you know,
tales?
Do you mean by story?
Origins. The story. Every country, for example, every nation tells itself its story about itself. Whether it's a myth or a legend or a story or truth.
I think it's important. I think our origin is important, but it also depends on what is being told. And I think sometimes what is being told is not accurate, and it's our obligation maybe to try and kind of demystify the myths or debunk the myths, and to look at a more accurate and sort of origin of our country and of our history.
What made you write this book, Jonathan?
I'm fascinated by history, and I'm fascinated by what I learned about history. And I thought this was a fun way to look at the history of our country through some of the fibs and myths that we've been told over the years. So in a way, it was a kind of historical journey, but it was also a personal journey, because I did look at some of the stories that I thought were true and weren't.
Tell me some of those stories.
So I think that the first one really was Shaka, and I'd remembered being, you know, in standard 2 or 3 and being taught about who Shaka was and this great kind of, you know, bloodthirsty Zulu warrior. And so when I started, I contacted Dan Wiley, a professor at Rhodes University. And I wrote to him and I said to him, you know, this is what I've learned about Shaka. And he responded with bullshit. It's all a pack of fibs. And so... I documented what I'd learned, and Dan has made his life mission to kind of find out as much as he can about this very, very important figure in our history. And he wrote what he called an anti-biography, because he says what we've learned about Shaka is we just don't know. There's so much that's not known, and to be true to history, we must accept that we don't know and stop sort of lying. And I think that was the first sort of kind of indication for me that what I had learned from at school. And then I recalled going back in time to when I was at a government school and was sent to Veld School, and I learned I was told all about the communists and the terrorists coming across the border, and all the Rooi Gevaar and the Swart Gevaar, and how much damage that propaganda did to this country.
So, I mean, I would like to just say that I also went to Veld School, and I know exactly what you mean. And I feel like anytime somebody mentions Veld School, I should bring up the fact that I was also traumatized by it. I went twice. I don't know how many times you went. But Jonathan, like, as I was saying, when I was little, I read a book called Anna Marie in the Pale Pink Frock, which really captured my imagination. And only afterwards, I realized it was actually the story of the Groot Trek, told us through the eyes of a young girl. And that's why I say every nation has their story, every group has their story, whether it's Shaka Zulu or Anna Marie. that tells how we got to be where we are. So from a historical point of view, should we be debunking myths?
I think we should be debunking myths, especially if the myths are worth debunking. Absolutely. There's a lot of political mileage. If you look at Shaka as an example, or if you look at the empty land myth, it gave rise to an ideology that was really damaging. And I think it's important to kind of set the record straight. It's kind of trite to say that history is written by the victors, but there's some truth to it, and we need to be kind of responsible about how we look back and be honest with ourselves. And if we start from a point of a lie, then we're saying truth doesn't matter, and truth matters very much.
Truth matters. And I used the example in the beginning of the Beatles. If you played backwards, you could hear satanic voices. I mean, that's part of an ideology that we grew up in. It's not like,
right.
I'm just wondering, when you talk about Shaka and you talk about the empty land myth, to what extent are all of these that you've got 50, to what extent are these big, big things, and to what extent are they smaller things?
Well, the book is not all serious. So there are some serious chapters, but some of them are I hope, quite fun and written with my tongue in my cheek. So I kind of looked at some obvious lies, like Jacob Zuma insisting that he wants his day in court, which he's been insisting for 20 years, and he may actually get it next year, holding thumbs. But also things like his minister of police at the time saying that a swimming pool is a fire pool, and saying it, he had called this press conference, and he said it to a whole group of journalists, and they knew he was lying, and he knew they knew he was lying, but he continued to lie. And remember Mandela's at Mandela's funeral. They had an interpreter, sign language interpreter, who actually wasn't a sign language interpreter and was just making up nonsense next to kind of the great leaders of this world. And of course, you can't get away from the decouplets lie. So it's not, and they're not only political lies. It's just a range of some serious, some not so serious, some fun, some kind of really crazy and ridiculous lie.
So that you have 50 of them in your book. How did you go about choosing them?
So I did start off by looking at my own kind of history and what I'd thought and what I thought was important. And then I spoke to a couple of sort of historians, asking what they thought were myths and lies that needed to be, set to rights. And then lies lead to more lies. And soon I had so many. I mean, it was quite astonishing to see how many lies we've been told over the years. So in the end, the real challenge was to kind of cull the list of lies. But I wanted a good mix. I wanted it so that anybody can just open the book and read a lie, and then come back to it and read another one. So it's I think it's quite easy to read. And I'm hoping it's a bit of education, a bit of fun, and also just to remind people of some of the crazy things that the country's gone through, some of the cons. In 1980, there was this guy from the Northern Cape who started a pyramid scheme where he got people to send in what was turned out to be fraught milk, and he, thousands and thousands of people fell for it, and in the end, he had the whole country smelling like fraught milk. And of, you know, it's very much part of our history. And of course, Hansi Cronier and the whole match fixing saga, the comrades Marathon and the two brothers who cheated. So it was just kind of looking at some of the crazy things that and you know how we were fooled.
Do you think it would be a much shorter book if you had to write 50 true South Africans have been told?
Well, I actually think, although it is about lies, it's also about the truth, because it's about setting the kind of record straight. I think truth is much harder to find than lies, because people tend to lie very easily.
How far back do you go in your book, and until when do you end?
I start, it's not in any chronological order, but I go back as far as the empty land myth.
Okay.
And then there are a couple of kind of early lies that I write about, and I end pretty much at the election, you know, the load shedding lies, also kind of looking at more, you know, very recent lies.
Was it fun,
Jacob Zoom?
Was it fun to write the book?
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. I suppose at the time it didn't seem like fun, it's difficult because when you're writing for a deadline, I suppose that was the 51st lie, telling the publisher that I'd meet the deadline. But when you're writing to a deadline, nothing seems like fun. But in retrospect, I did have fun. I mean, some of the lies did make me angry. Thabo Mbeki's kind of HIV/AIDS scandal, really, you know, sort of remembering the whole Vira Dean saga and how kind of access to life-saving medication was denied and that resulted in so many deaths. And as I said, Hansi Cronier was kind of a personal sadness for me, because it felt like a sense of betrayal. But some really made me laugh. The whole saga about the decuplets, these 10 imaginary yes. babies. And then, of course, this prophet who insisted that he could raise the dead. And he had this whole show where he raised poor Elliot from the dead. And, you know, I found that very funny. the whole performance was just crazy.
I mean, do you think South Africans are particularly gullible?
I think no more gullible than anybody else. I mean, we do have kind of a long history of being lied to and of telling lies. But I think lies are sort of kind of, everybody just seems to reach easily to lie. I don't think we're more gullible than anybody else, even though, you know, that scam, the fruit milk scam was the defining scam of the 80s. And then of course we had Marcus Uster, quite recently. So I think people do fall for scams. I'm not sure. Maybe we are trusting, or maybe we're just quite desperate. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to reading your book. And the fact that you say you took it as a historian, are you an equal opportunity offender in terms of who you pick to demyth?
Well, I kind of just, you know, I didn't set out with an agenda. Some lies just jump out at you and you know, then you have to write about them. But I had no particular agenda, so I wasn't trying to demonize anybody. I was just trying to kind of have a look at our history through a very different prism. You know, we've looked at history through all sorts of angles and perspectives, but we haven't really looked at history through the lies. And I thought this was a fun and entertaining way of telling our story.
And do you come out of it like with a history of South Africa in a funny way?
Yeah, I think so. I think I think a lot of people have said to me that they'd forgotten some of the what I've written about, or they didn't know about it. And so I think it really is kind of an eclectic mix of fun and serious and ridiculous. So I think there's something in it for everybody.
So there is one that I'm going to kind of quibble with you around, and that is that you say that Nelson Mandela told us that we as a nation were special, and you believe we're not. Can we actually kind of discuss that one?
Yeah, I think in a sense, what that chapter is about is saying that at the time in the early 90s, in order for South Africa to work, Mandela got up and he said, he needed everybody to get on the same side. And there are actually quite a few chapters relating to Mandela in the book. But this one looks at him telling, trying to make us believe that we're exceptional. And I think we needed that so that...
We still need that, Jonathan. We still need that.
We still need that. But I think it did create this sense of entitlement that here we are, we're South Africans, we're special, the world owes us something. And the world doesn't owe us anything. It's also kind of made us feel sort of superior to other African countries. And I think that's in a way contributed to sentiments of xenophobia.
Maybe.
So I think, it's sometimes good intentions, that's what the road to hell is paved with. But I do think that, there are exceptional South Africans. I mean, look at the South African Springbok rugby team and look at all these amazing scientists that we've produced and artists and, all sorts of exceptional people. But I think we're ordinary, and actually that's a good thing to be. We're just ordinary.
And although the stories though sound absolutely fascinating, Jonathan, maybe extraordinary. Jonathan, if anybody would like to get a hold of your book, what should they do?
It is available in all good and even some bad bookstores. It's also available online. It's published by Jonathan Ball. And so it's sort of, they've got quite a good distribution network.
Well, I have an exclusive book voucher, and I know exactly how I'm going to be spending it, Jonathan, and where I'm going to be spending it.
I hope you enjoy it, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. That was Jonathan Anser, and he is award-winning author, journalist, podcast, and media trainer, and he's talking about his sixth book entitled Bull You Know What, 50 Fibs That Made South Africa.